In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our sermon text this morning is the second lesson, also written by the Apostle John in his first epistle, reading the first six verses of chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the God who has given birth also loves one who has been born of him. This is how we know that we love the children of God, for we love God and keep his commands. In fact, this is love for God, that we keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, because everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by the water alone, but by the water and by the blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is God's word. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God and those who continue to celebrate Easter. So, what does that prove? Maybe you've heard someone give that response to your belief and your confession that you stated in the Apostles' Creed today, and is included in all the three ecumenical Christian creeds. So what does that prove? He also, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Here's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves. It proves that he's God. It proves that he made the complete and total payment for our sin and guilt, and thus conquer death and the grave and hell. And it proves that we, his people, his children born of God, will also rise again from the dead in our physical bodies. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is his victory by which he has overcome the world. And you too, connected to Christ, have overcome the world. That is your strength, and that is your power. That is your new birth. By your new birth, by our new birth in the Spirit, we daily translate Christ's resurrection from the dead, his victory, into our victory of love. Of love now for God, which is obeying his commandments, and love for each other. Because as John says, when you love the Father, when you love the one who has given you birth as his child, you also love the others who God gave birth as his children. We love each other, the brothers and sisters of Christ. John wrote, everyone who loves the Father loves the child as well. And it's no burden to love one another. Love for God by obeying his commandments, and love for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, is simply the way our justifying faith exhibits itself in life, in day-to-day living as Christians. And so this morning, listen as John writes about the direct correlation between Christ's victory and ours. And that direct correlation is that the Father's love in the victory of Christ has made us members of his family. And secondly, that as brothers and sisters, we children in Christ overcoming the world, also overcome the world. Our justifying faith that exhibits itself in love for God, which is obeying the commandments, and love for each other, which means we forgive each other, we're kind to one another, that we care about and are concerned for each other's needs. That justifying faith that exhibits itself in those ways is based on two pillars, the water and the blood, Jesus Christ. There John is writing about Jesus' baptism, in which he placed himself under sinners' baptism. He placed himself under our baptism as our substitute. The other pillar is his blood, the holy blood that he shed on the cross, the blood that now has washed away our sins and covers us so the Father sees only saints. At his death, Jesus completed the work that he began publicly at his baptism. So John makes reference to those two great events in Jesus' life. He wrote, "This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water alone, but by the water and by the blood." In other words, what Jesus began publicly in his baptism, he finished, he completed when he shed his blood on the cross. These are the saving truths that the Holy Spirit continues to reveal to us and the world in the gospel. And he reveals those so that you and I are able to overcome the lies and the slander that Satan brings against Jesus. I read about some of that slander and lies this morning in an article about Islam. They said, "Oh, we believe in Jesus. We worship Jesus. We just don't believe that he's the Son of God. We believe he's a great prophet and is a good example to follow, but he's not God." That's slander and a lie about Jesus. The Holy Spirit continues to reveal to us the truths that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he came by water and by blood to redeem us. That truth counters the slander and the lies that those speak against the Christ. It is Christ's victory that overcame the world that is the power of that truth. The Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit has testified to us that we have been redeemed by Christ, that his sacrifice has redeemed us. And the truth is that we are born of God, that we did not decide to become Christians. We did not give birth to ourselves as Christians. But God gave birth to us through the Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of our faith. The apostle whom Jesus loved asks and answers his own question. Who is the one who overcomes the world? Who is able to overcome the lies and the slander of Satan? The trying to make sin look good, and the pleasures of this world inviting. How are we able to overcome those lies? Who is able to overcome the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. All of us daily have to face the lies and slander of Christ by Satan, whether that comes through others, or whether that comes from within and our own sinful hearts. Living the life of justifying faith and love toward God and one another is not a burden, but it is a fight. It is the fight of faith, the fight of the truth against lies, the fight of righteousness against sin. The life of following the victory of Christ in victory, or depending on ourselves and going down then in defeat. You and I fight in the triumph of Christ's resurrection. There is a direct correlation between Christ's victory and ours. As the Spirit leads us into the truth and the Father gives us birth as His children, so that we are able by Him to maintain that relationship with our Father. You and I are in a fight against the lies about Christ, the fight in the lies that we tell ourselves about our sins, about our unwillingness to forgive others, about our unloving attitudes toward others. We are in the fight of our spiritual lives. But we aren't in a fight with an uncertain outcome. We are not in a bumper sticker fight that says, honk if you love Jesus. We're in a fight against Satan and others trying to destroy our faith. Living faith is not pious talk about being a Christian and loving God and loving my neighbor in spite of my desires. Christ's victory in His resurrection from the dead is my victory by which I overcome the world and remain in the kingdom of God for the kingdom of glory in eternity. Christ's victory means that we desire to do God's will, and that will is love, which is God's one commandment. You know, I love the commercial for Shriners Hospital where they ask these little kids, what is love? And one says, I think, oh, puppies. You know, one says, well, I think it's dancing. And my favorite little girl says, I got nothing. But love is obeying the commandments. That's what true love is. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. John wrote, this is how we know that we love the children of God. Here's real love for each other. By loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands. Love feels no load. Faith in God is strength in God. Our victory in Christ has overcome the world with its power and its pleasures and its purposes. This is the strength of our victorious faith that manifests itself in daily striving to do all things to God's glory. Obeying God's commands is not only easy and light, but it also is for us children of our Father a true and genuine pleasure. What a horrific lie of Satan it is that being a child of God means that I have to obey the Ten Commandments, and it'll feel like carrying a backpack full of rocks up a mountain trail. Obeying the commandments is not a heavy load. The psalm writer describes our relationship with obedience to God this way in Psalm 119. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Our victorious faith is in direct correlation to Christ's victory in His resurrection from the dead. Because as God's children, we do overcome the world. And what that means is that we say no to sin and yes to righteousness. We say no to hatred and anger and holding a grudge. And we say yes to forgiveness and to love and to patience. We deplore the evil we commit and embrace God's forgiving love as it compels us to a living love. We are alert to Satan's trap that I can now use my justifying faith as an excuse for sin. That I can use it as a license to do whatever I want against God's will and continue sinning. I cannot appreciate God's love for me and then proceed to live a life clearly in contradiction to God's will and His word. God's love is not a license to sin. It's the power to overcome sin. It's the strength to resist sin. It's the power to overcome temptation, to have the assurance of forgiveness when I do sin. God's love for me is the reason that I seek justice for others, that I seek justice for the world and for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I came upon a definition of justice I never heard before. I think it's pretty good. Justice is, after all, what love looks like in public. When we love one another in public, we are seeking justice. Justice from us and justice from God. And what is that justice? It's His love in which He punished Jesus in our place. That He satisfied His justice in our Savior and has now forgiven us. Jesus Christ's resurrection from the dead that we confess is proof of that. Love is the fruit of faith. Luther wrote these words in his commentary to the letter to the Galatians. After I have apprehended Christ by faith, have died to the law, have been justified from sin, and have been freed through Christ from death, the devil, and hell, I do good works. I love God. I thank Him. I practice love toward my neighbor. You and I are familiar with John writing in his gospel because we sing it very often. John wrote, "These words are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing in Him, you may have life in His name." You and I confess in the three creeds that He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. But on the third day, He rose again from the dead. By those words, we confess that Jesus is God. He is the Christ. That God is our Father in heaven. And we are members of His family born by the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the direct correlation between Christ's victory and ours that gives us love and keeping God's commandments that are our works of great delight. Amen.